Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are so happy to have on the phone with us today Hastings City Council member, Ward 1 Representative Tina Fulch, and she is going to give us a recap of the recent April 5th meeting. Welcome to KDWA. Thanks for calling in today, Tina. How are you?
I am doing great. Thanks, Mo, for having me today. I'm excited that the weather has gotten so nice and we're able to enjoy the great outdoors again consistently. So, yeah, and I'm excited to talk to you about what happened with the city council.
Thank you so much. So, first of all, it was a meeting that was a regular scheduled meeting and you're still doing Zoom. How is that going?
The meeting's overall have been going pretty well. You know, we've gotten used to, you know, business being done that way, but I don't know about you, Mo. I am so done with wanting to do video conference calls for everything. I'm just over Zoom. I want to be in person again. I want to see people, talk to people, be within, you know, several feet at least of people. So yeah, I'm looking forward to when we're finally going to be able to be back in the council chambers.
And have you talked about that as a group, and do you have any firm date?
You know, we don't. There are a few of the council members who have underlying health conditions, and so I think until everyone's been, you know, fully vaccinated, and I think that there's some modifications that need to be done to the council chambers as well to allow for us to go in. If you've ever watched an actual meeting, we all sit up at a big U-shaped desk, you know, together, you know, within, you know, literally just a foot or two of each other. And so I think that they have to make some modifications to, you know, accommodate for social distancing. And so more to come to, you know, we'll have discussions about that probably in the upcoming months.
Absolutely. But until then, it certainly is working well for those of us that watch it, you know, on Zoom. I'm sorry that you have to be on another Zoom call, but it's nice to watch. Anyway, let's talk about the April 5th meeting. Do you want to run through it for us and give us some updates of what was accomplished?
Sure. You know, we actually, before the official council meeting itself, we had a workshop where we talked about the American Rescue Plan. Congress did end up passing this recovery fund, and we are very pleased that Hastings is going to be receiving $2.6 million. For our city, the federal government will give it to the state of Minnesota, and then the state of Minnesota will in turn provide it to our city in two payments that will happen in 21 and then again in May of 2022. And so we don't know a lot about how it is that we could use the funds yet, but they have given us some general guidelines so that we can anticipate. Have you heard about this at all yet, Mo, yourself?
No, I have not. So this is wonderful news. What exactly does it mean, please? And are there going to be parameters on how it's spent?
Yes. With everything, you know, funds always, you know, have ties for how it is that you can spend them. And so we're just really excited that the money can be used for a wider variety of purposes than the first appropriation that was made to us last year. And so this pot of funding is good from March 2021 through the very end of 2024. So we have a much longer time to be able to spend it and to do very thoughtful planning. And some of the things that it's going to be eligible for include lost revenue to offset tax reductions. Like, for instance, it might be possible that we could use the funds for things like the aquatic center being shut down and the city losing revenue for that, or when we've also waived liquor license fees for the restaurants that have on-sale liquor licenses, could possibly use it for that. A second purpose is that we can use it to support, you know, continue to support our businesses and our nonprofit community as we roll along. We're not out of the weeds yet, and so just in case, you know, we have another downturn so that we can continue to try to support our local economy that way. And then a third area where they've, this is new and expanded, is that we can use the funds for water and sewer infrastructure projects. And then also they've broadened it to include possibly broadband infrastructure in case local government units are looking to use the funds for that. And so it's also, you know, kind of a job stimulus bill then in that respect, because, you know, those are big ticket items. And I know that across the board, local governments are really struggling to find enough funds, you know, for aging infrastructure or new technology infrastructure in that case as well. So we're really pleased, you know, at the possibilities that we might be able to use these funds for.
When would you be able to access that money?
Well, what they're saying is that the state of Minnesota has 60 days from when it received the money from the feds to do the disbursements. And so they're aiming for May 10th of this year will be the first disbursement, and then again in May of 2022 would be the second. So, you know, the devil's in the details, and they haven't provided any of those details yet. We don't know a lot about what the reporting requirements are going to be or any of that, but we're just excited that they've given us the heads up. And, you know, I have to say shout out to Congresswoman Angie Craig. I know that she fought really hard for the local governments to be able to have appropriations given to them. And so we're really excited about it and appreciate her support.
I bet. Boy, that's great news for the city. Wonderful, wonderful. So you had lots of things on the consent agenda, and that did go through. Anything in particular that you wanted to highlight?
Sure. Well, we had more conversation about the parklets and the sidewalk cafes that are going to be in the downtown Hastings area this upcoming summer. I know I've touched upon this in the past, and perhaps other council members have talked about it as well. But just real quick, the city has changed its approach as to how it is we're going to allow the restaurants in the downtown area to expand so that, you know, they have safer social distancing space for patrons who'd like to be able to utilize that. And so what in essence we've done is we're allowing the restaurants to apply for a parklet. What we're calling a parklet application is where they can use up to 3 parking spots, you know, downtown, and then in that they can erect a parklet. And I believe all of them are going to actually place raised platforms in those areas. And so it's exciting that we're going to have like these outside patio, like raised platforms that'll be in the downtown for folks to be able to use. And we had our first batch of 5 restaurants who made applications for either to have a sidewalk cafe all by itself, or some of them actually did ask then also for the parklet. So they'll have both a sidewalk area and then a parklet area for their patrons to sit at tables. So the first ones that came through were the American Legion, El Mexican, Sparrow Brewery, and the Busted Nut. They've asked for a parklet, and the Onion Grill is asked for an expanded sidewalk cafe. And so it's exciting. We did approve all of those last night, and so I guess they just have to finish up a little paperwork, and they can start building out those sidewalk cafes and parklets in the very near future.
Very exciting and just wonderful for the downtown businesses. That will be fun. And I know that there was a lot of discussion leading up to that, but it's good to see how it all worked out.
It is, yeah. And I have to say I'm thankful that our HEDRA, which is the Hastings Economic Development Authority, they have actually put aside $40,000 of grant funds to help with some assistance for the restaurants that would like to be able to put in these parklets or sidewalk cafes. It's just a small amount that's being made available. It's only a total of $40,000, but, you know, any little bit helps these restaurants as they've been trying to recover from the pandemic.
Absolutely. So what were some of the other things that went on at the meeting on the 5th of April?
Sure. Real quick, we also had two of the developments that are going in have asked for their full plats to be authorized. So it's exciting. I know I've personally have talked about in the past up on North Ridge and Pleasant Street, there is going to be a new area. It's called the Villas at Pleasant. And so they had originally only asked for half of the development to go forward this next year. And so they're expecting, I guess, the economy to make a big rebound. And so they have come forward and they've asked for all 32 of the plots to be developed. And I believe so that they're going to be working on constructing them all this summer. And so that's exciting. So 32 new homes there. And then the second new development is the Heritage Ridge, second edition. And that's up on General Sebin. So it's General Sebin and Fallbrook, and there'll be another housing development there, 32 houses that will be going in. So, yeah, a total of 64 new houses up on the west side. So that's extremely exciting. We're very happy about that because for at least the last 10 years, we've seen very little in new housing developments going in. So this is a strong indication that we're moving in the right direction.
Tell our listeners why that's important for a city.
Well, good question, because, you know, there are a lot of folks who lived in the community for a long time who don't get so excited about new developments going in. But from our perspective, we're happy to see new housing go in because that means we have additional residents to help in paying for infrastructure like sewer and water connections, pay for our emergency responders. And then also it's extremely important when you look at our school district, because for the last 10 years, we've actually had declining enrollment in kindergarten. And so our children are the base of our youth. They are actually shrinking year after year after year after year. And so the school district is, you know, dependent on student enrollment. And so we definitely need new housing development. And so what they believe is happening is that people like living in Hastings and they want to stay in Hastings. And so older individuals, they're staying in their existing homes because they haven't had opportunities in the past to move, to stay within Hastings, but perhaps downsize. And then secondly, for, you know, other individuals who want to come into the community, there hasn't been enough, you know, housing stock to be able to accommodate that. You know, we've seen a lot of increases in property values here in Hastings the last few years. And so we have a few different senior homes developments that are under construction or just about to be under construction this year. And so hopefully we'll start seeing movement in two areas where we'll see seniors moving to some of the senior housing that will now be available, freeing up their existing family homes so that we can get more young families in those, and then also these new developments help bring in hopefully an influx of new individuals into our community to help with the school district and then, yeah, help with the infrastructure costs that need to be distributed. So, you know, it's surprising what you get excited about when you're an elected official. And so housing developments are a big win-win for us and then also for our business community, because if there's more customers and patrons, you know, within the community, that our business community can be more vibrant as well.
I see on the agenda that you talked about the pay scale for the assistant fire chief. What was involved with that, please?
Sure. Well, as folks may remember, that Chief Shute had resigned a couple of years ago now, and we decided to promote from within. And so we now have Chief Townsend, but he had been the assistant chief in the past, and so he had been promoted to chief. And so his assistant fire chief position has been empty for quite some time now. So we had gone through the whole process of doing, you know, applications and going through, the, you know, that whole recruitment process. And so what had happened was they found a really excellent candidate that they would like to make the offer to. But what they found is that Hastings' pay scale for leadership within the fire department hasn't kept up at the competitive rates with other communities within the metro area, similar in likeness to Hastings. And to be able to make that offer, the city administrator, Dan Wachicha, he had asked for an increase in the pay scale, just to shift it up a little bit so that this individual could be made an offer and brought in, you know, mid-scale so that there's a little bit room for them to grow. And so we also had a lot of conversation about the impact of salaries to the city. And so there was a lot of agreement that we'd love to see a salary survey done for our existing city employees to see how are we doing, you know, are we competitive or are we not competitive, you know, because any business or any governmental entity, their best resource is their employees. And so we want to be able to at least attract good quality caliber employees and to keep them and retain them. So we'll look at doing a pay study probably in the next year or so, hopefully. But in the meantime, we did authorize small adjustment to this assistant fire chief pay scale just to be able to secure this individual that they wanted to make the offer to.
So is that a name that we are going to hear soon?
Yes, I'm going to have an email about it. It says, congratulations, Assistant Fire Chief Chris Paulson. So I'll just read it. It says,
perfect.
I'm honored to announce the promotion of Captain Chris Paulson to Assistant Fire Chief. He has 23 years of experience in fire and EMS, including 11 years of training officer, 5 years on the Dakota County Special Operations Team, and the past 5 years in a supervisory role as captain. During the past couple of years, especially, Chris has played an integral role in the Hastings Fire Department leadership as the department updates standard operating procedures, staffing, and response models and plans for the future. So it was an internal promotion in the end.
How wonderful. Well, congratulations to him. And thank you for your really comprehensive recap of the April 5th meeting. Our guest today is Hastings City Council member and Ward 1 representative Tina Fulch. And we appreciate your time today, Tina. Thank you so much.
Thanks again. Well, have a great one. We'll
you
talk
too.
To you soon.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.